I'm going to ask you to take your Bibles and turn with me to the book of Genesis chapter 41. Genesis 41. I'd like to look at one verse, verse 45. Verse 45. And Pharaoh called Joseph's name Zaphnath-Paaneah. He gave him to wife Asenath, the daughter of Potipharah, priest of On. And Joseph went out over all the land of Egypt. Joseph has been exalted to be ruler over all of Pharaoh's house. Joseph is a picture of the Lord Jesus Christ, who, as the submissive servant of Jehovah, has been exalted over all flesh. All power has been given unto the Son, that he should give eternal life to as many as the Father has given him. Now, tonight, I'd like for us to consider this one passage of Scripture that I just read, and I pray that the Spirit of God bless this passage to our understanding, to show us the glorious mercy of our Lord to hell-deserving sinners. And I encourage all of us at this moment, ask the Lord to bless this passage of Scripture to us. This one passage of Scripture, I had it in my heart that I was going to finish this chapter tonight. And the more I looked at this one passage of Scripture, the more I'm convinced I can go no farther than this one verse tonight. Now, the Scripture declares that Pharaoh has not only exalted Joseph to a new position. Now, this took place, everyone pretty well is in agreement. This all took place one day. Joseph was taken out of prison. He was brought before Pharaoh. Pharaoh told him his dream. Joseph told him, he said, there's a God in heaven that reveals dreams, that reveals these secrets. I can't do it. But he said, God Almighty can. And he told him what it was. And Pharaoh told him, he said, with this kind of wisdom, I need a man to oversee what's going to happen. He heard the interpretation of the dream. They're going to have 7 years of good and plenty in the land and 7 years of famine. He saw that in that dream. He saw those cows and he saw that corn and how one was plentiful, one was lean and empty. And so he exalted him. He put him in a position second in the kingdom. Only to himself was Joseph found to be inferior. And he bestowed not only this new position, but he gave him, the Scripture says, he gave him a new name. And Pharaoh called Joseph's name Zaphnath-Paaneah. Now, that name right there was given unto Joseph by Pharaoh. Very significant. And Pharaoh proclaimed Joseph's name. That is his reputation, his fame, his glory. He gave him that name. I listened to it. I listened to the name in Egyptian. I can pull it up and listen to it, how that's an Egyptian name. And I believe me, I'm not saying it the way it's actually pronounced. That's as close as I can I can say it though. But now, let's not lose sight of something. He gave him a name. Zaphnath-Paaneah. And we want to remember that this is a picture of the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ. Pharaoh is a picture of the Father, Pharaoh. Pharaoh gave Joseph a name exalted, a name of prominence in the land of Egypt. But that name that he gave to Joseph, Blue Letter Bible translates it, Treasury of Glorious Rest. But in the Egyptian meaning, is this, the Savior or Salvation of the World. The Hebrew meaning is revealer of a secret. But whatever the meaning of the name is, they're all pictures and types of the glory of our Lord. They all magnify the Lord Jesus Christ, who is the revealer of God's secrets, except the Lord Jesus Christ, God's prophet. Who is the salvation of the world? For God so loved the world. I told you what that means. It doesn't mean what everybody is saying it means. God never has set forth that God loves everybody in the world. God so loved the order of man. God loved mankind. It means the human race. Look it up. When you see world right there, look it up. It means the human race. God loved the human race. Because he loved the human race, he chose a people out of the human race before the foundation of the world and gave them to the Lord Jesus Christ because he was going to preserve the human race. If he left the human race to the human race, he would have to damn all of us. God so loved the human race that he gave his only begotten son. So who is the Savior? Who is the salvation of the world, the human race? The Lord Jesus Christ. So here, Pharaoh gives Joseph a new name, Zaphnath-Paaneah, Savior of the world. And concerning the Father giving the Lord Jesus Christ a name. Listen to this scripture. Philippians 2, 9 to 11. It says this. Philippians chapter 2, 9 to 11. Wherefore God also hath highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name. Now, what is that name above every name? Here it is. He tells us that at the name of Jesus, Jehovah is salvation. That at the name that is given, that's above every name, the name Jesus, every knee should bow of things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. So here's Pharaoh, exalted Joseph to a position of prominence in Egypt. The Father has exalted the submissive and willing, obedient servant, the Lord Jesus Christ, who humbled himself and made himself of no reputation. God's exalted him. He's given him a name above every name, at the name of Jesus. Every knee going to bow and every tongue going to confess. But not only in this scripture do we see that Pharaoh called Joseph's name Zaphnath-Paaneah, but he gave him to wife Asenath, the daughter of Potiphar, priest of On. Now, Joseph gets a wife too. He gets a new position. He gets a new name. And he gets a wife. Now I want you to consider the beauty of this whole scenario as it's unfolded before our eyes. Here's Pharaoh gives, in particular, he gives a wife to Joseph. He gives Joseph a wife. And can we not see in that beautiful gift the bride being given unto the Lord Jesus Christ? Who gave the bride to Joseph? Pharaoh. Pharaoh. Who gave the bride to the Lord Jesus? The Father. The Father, the scripture says, hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love. He gave unto the Son a bride. A bride, though, that the Lord Jesus, being one with the Father, will in purpose and has in purpose betrothed unto himself. The Father gave us to the Son. And the Son, again, one with the Father, betrothed us unto himself forever. He said, yea, betrothed us unto himself in righteousness, judgment, loving kindness, and mercies. A wife that he would betroth unto himself in faithfulness. Hosea 2, 19, 20, a wife that would know the Lord, know Jehovah. So here's the Father giving us a son as Pharaoh gave, giving us a bride as Pharaoh gave a bride unto Joseph. But this wife that was given unto the Lord Jesus Christ is going to be a wife that will submit herself unto him. And in regenerating grace, she's going to behold him as her glorious husband who loved her and gave himself for her, that he might sanctify her and cleanse her with the washing of the word, that bride that was eternally precious to him. I've loved you with an everlasting love, always with the Father, one with the Father in the Spirit. And he's going to present this bride unto himself, a glorious church without spot or wrinkle or any such thing, holy and without blemish. Oh, what Joseph's bride set forth. I was thinking just a few minutes before I came, and I got to thinking about the brides that have been given unto the patriarchs. I got to thinking about Abraham's bride, Sarah. God gave Sarah to Abraham. And then there's Isaac. Abraham told his servant, he said, I want you to go down to my family and I want you to find a bride for my son. We studied this chapters ago. And he said, don't go to the land of Canaan. Don't go to a heathen place. You find a bride for my son out of my family. So he found a Rebecca and she was willing to go. So Abraham had his Sarah and Isaac had his Rebekah, and they had a couple of boys, Jacob and Esau. And Jacob was loved of the Lord. Esau was hated. God had purposed to give the birthright to Jacob. He was not the firstborn. Esau was. But Esau sold his birthright to Jacob. He got the birthright, got the blessing. And Esau hated him. Said, I'm going to wait till daddy's dead. I'm going to kill you. I'm going to kill you. So Rebekah, his mama, told him, she said, I want you to leave. You go back to my home place. Go back to Laban's house, my brother. You stay with him. And Jacob gets over there and he sees the bride he wants. He sees Rachel, and he makes a deal with Laban for Rachel. Worked 7 years for her. But Rachel wasn't the firstborn. Rachel was secondborn. And Isaac gets Leah. That's worked 7 more years for Rachel. for the one he loved. Abraham had his Sarah. Isaac had his Rebekah. Jacob got his Rachel. And now, here's Joseph. And he's in Egypt, exalted, second in command, second in the land. He's got a new position of authority. He's got a new name. Savior. Now he's got a new wife. And I want you to look at the heritage. I got to thinking about the wives that had been given to these patriarchs. Sarah, Rachel, Rebecca. And now here's Joseph. And he gets a woman, Scripture sets forth, her name is Asenath, the daughter of Potipharah, the priest of On. I thought, now, who was this lady? And who's her daddy? Well, I found out Asenath, what it means is her name means belonging to the goddess Neith, N-E-I-T-H, sun god. And her daddy, Potipharah, that's not a different rendering of Potiphar. It wasn't the one to put him in prison. This is a different name. His name, Potiphar, means gift of the sun god. So from the wife's name, belonging to the goddess Neith, who was the sun god, and her daddy's name, gift of the sun god, they were idol worshipers. They worshipped idols. That's what they were. They were idol worshipers. Now here's all of these women that had been given unto these patriarchs, Sarah, Rachel, Rebecca. And now here's Joseph, a picture of the Lord Jesus Christ. And he's given a bride. He's given a position, a high position. He's been exalted in the land of Egypt. He's been given a new name, Savior of the world. And he gets a new wife. She's an idol worshiper. You know, I looked at that and I asked in my heart, I just went through my mind. You know, we might ask, how could an Egyptian, how could a heathen woman, an idol worshiper, typify the wife of the Lord Jesus? These wives, they were pictures of the bride. Well, in this right here, I began to look at this and I began to see the wonder and the marvel of God's amazing grace to creatures like ourselves. The Spirit of God directed a prophet named Ezekiel, to set forth the bride of the Lord Jesus Christ as she was found in Adam's fall. The way she was born into this world, how she came forth into this world in Adam's transgression. If we'd like to see, if we'd like to understand and find out just what do we have to boast in. You know, the Pharisees, they love to boast. You know, listen, we're Abraham's sons. We're sons of Abraham. I tell you where we came from. We're not like these Samaritans, these half-breeds over here. I'm telling you, we're Abraham's children. That's who we are. Well, the Lord moved. I want you to hold your place there and turn over to Ezekiel 16. If you want to know where God found us, I'm talking about the Lord who's been exalted and given a name above every name, the Lord who is the Savior of the world. If you want to see who his wife was in her fallen state, here she is. I want you to look at Ezekiel 16. I'm going to look at actually the first six verses, just touch upon them. Ezekiel 16, verses 1 and 2. Again, the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Son of man, cause Jerusalem to know her abominations. Here's what God told Ezekiel to do. Ezekiel, I want you to tell my people, I want you to tell them what they actually are in themselves. Here we behold the truth of what God has to say, not about how good the bride is by birth, but how evil, how wicked she is by birth. You tell her, Ezekiel, how impure and disgusting she is, not only in her birth, but in her actions and in her thoughts. You cause her to know, verse 2, her abominations. You tell her about her foul sins and multiplied transgressions. You tell her about her love for lewdness and idolatrous worship, and how she loves spiritual adultery. You tell her what she is in herself. You tell her. Verse 3 says, and you say, thus saith the Lord God unto Israel, thy birth and thy nativity is of the land of Canaan. Thy father was an Amorite, and thy mother a Hittite. Here, Ezekiel was instructed to relate to Jerusalem, actually the city, which was a picture and type of God's covenant people. You tell her where she came from, that she might not have any ground on which to exalt herself above other people. You tell her when she begins to think high and mighty of herself, looking down on others. You tell her where she came from. Like I said, although self-righteous religionists would think that they've got an advantage over others, we came from Abraham. I don't know about you, but I'm one of the elect. Bless God, by the grace of God you are. But God's going to remind us where we came from. Why? That we be not exalted above measure. What did he do to Paul the Apostle? Paul the Apostle went to the third heaven. Heard things he couldn't repeat, couldn't say, didn't know how to say them. And a thorn in the flesh was given to him. Why? Lest he be exalted above measure because of the revelations. He said, you remind her where she came from. You tell her where she was born. You tell her about her spiritual darkness. And when she starts setting forth her glory of being found as a descendant from Abraham, hold your place in Ezekiel. Turn over to Joshua 24 for a minute. Joshua 24, lest we forget where Abraham came from. Joshua 24, verse 1 and 2. Joshua 24, 1 and 2. And Joshua gathered all the tribes of Israel to Shechem and called for the elders of Israel and for their heads and for their judges and for their officers. And they presented themselves before God. And Joshua said unto all the people, thus saith the Lord God of Israel, your fathers dwelt on the other side of the flood in old time, even Terah, the father of Abraham and the father of Nahor, and they served other gods. When you start bragging, you think you got all your bragging rights in being sons of Abraham, you inform her that where she came from was from a people that were idol worshipers. You remind her of that. Back in Ezekiel 16. And as for thy nativity, in the day thou wast born, thy navel was not cut, neither wast thou washed in water to supple thee. Thou wast not salted at all, nor swaddled at all. None I pitied thee to do any of these unto thee, to have compassion upon thee. But thou wast cast out in the open field to the loathing of thy person. in the day that thou wast born. What weakness. What helplessness. By nature, this was our lot by birth. Totally ruined in the fall, and no pity was found from any creature for our condition. For our condition was common to all. We were born like everybody else. God's people, God's elect, those everlastingly loved, those found in Christ before the foundation of the world, that they should be holy, without blame, before Him in love. You tell her where she came from. You remind her of that. You tell her that she was cast out to the loathing of her person. And if left in that state, nothing but everlasting damnation would have been her eternal end. We were born in ourselves with no hope in us, none whatsoever. Cast out, navel wasn't cut, wasn't salted, wasn't cleaned up, laying there in your own blood. Verse 6. If you want something in which to boast, we're going to boast in Him. Verse 6. And when I passed by thee and saw thee polluted in thine own blood, I said unto thee, when thou wast in thy blood, live. Yea, I said unto thee, when thou wast in thy blood, live. Now, brethren, this is our only cause, our only hope of recovery from the penalty of what we are by nature. We don't have anything else. We have nothing. I want you to notice that nothing was said there about our will, about our decision, about our works. No, the Lord said, when I passed by thee. Thank God that salvation is by God's grace and not by our merit and not by our work. Here we see nothing in a sinner but sin and death. That's all we have. Sin that's worthy only of God's wrath, worthy only of God's justice. And that the Lord would pass by and see such filthiness at us and see us in our blood, see us for what we are, and say unto us, that which goes forth from Him in power, that word that goes forth and accomplishes the purpose for which it was sent. And this is what He said. He said, I passed by. I saw thee polluted in thine own blood, and I said unto thee, when thou wast in thy blood, live. And I'm telling you, when He says live, and repeated it to the confirmation, that mercy and grace, that continual repeating. I thought about, I read that a little bit ago, when I saw thee in thy blood, I said, live. And yea, and I said, when thou was in thy blood, live. You know, do we ever get tired of hearing the Lord repeat the same things to us? Help me again. Tell me one more time. How God in mercy saw me in my blood. Tell me one more time how God walked by me. I think how many people I've crossed paths with growing up. How many people did I cross paths with? I don't know this for a fact. I have no idea. I'm just talking to you right now. I just think it. How many people I went to grade school with, junior high and high school? You can think the same thing, can't you, Neil? How many people did you go to school with? How many people did you go to school with? How many do you know that you went to school with? I was in college. I wonder how many people I ran around with, got into more junk than you can shake a stick at. How many of them that I know of, that I know of, that I can remember, that I was in school with, doing the same thing they were doing, and Almighty God would walk by me and look at me in my blood when I was cast out. Just nothing good to look at. And look at me in mercy and compassion and power and say, live. You live. You. But for the grace of God, I'd be doing the same thing everybody else is doing. But Almighty God walked by and passed by me just like he did you. I know you can enter into this. Why? Because Scripture says that God had found a ransom and he was the ransom. He said, live. When we knew him not, when our blind eyes could not see him, when our dead ears could not hear his voice, he spoke. And I'm telling you, when he spoke, he told Ezekiel, was it Ezekiel who spoke to the dry bones? Whichever one it was. Say to these dry bones, oh, ye dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. You prophesy to them. I'll cause the wind to come. You tell them. And when he comes by and he speaks in power, ears that could not hear of themselves, he gives new ears. Eyes that couldn't see, he gives new eyes. And he irresistibly quickens us to life by his Spirit. He speaks and the sheep hear. They always do. He said, my sheep hear my voice. Saul of Tarsus breathing out threatenings. God Almighty shone his glory around him. And he spoke to him. He said, Saul, Saul. Who art thou, Lord? I'm Jesus that you're persecuting. Lord, what would you have me to do? What would you want me to do? God's people hear the voice of the Lord. I said to you, live, and she lived. Oh, what a beautiful picture set before us. Joseph was given a new name. Zaphnath-Paaneah, Savior or Salvation of the World. And was given a wife, Asenath, belonging to the goddess Neith. The Lord Jesus Christ was given a wife, and he took her. And he took all of her guilt. She was just as guilty, as putrefying as everybody else. And he bore all of her guilt. And he went to the cross. He went to Calvary. And he answered the law's demand for her. That Asenath that we are, that worshiper of idols, worshiper of self. And he robed her in his righteousness. She who was an idol worshiper before, now she looks upon him and she says, as Thomas, my Lord, my God. Oh, what you've done for me. That's the last part of that last verse back in Genesis 41. Scripture says, verse 45, Pharaoh called Joseph's name Zaphnath-Paaneah, gave him to wife Asenath, the daughter of Potipharah, priest of On. And Joseph went out over all the land of Egypt. He'd been given a position as a ruler over all the land. And he went out. But even in that last part of that verse, do we not see our Lord who was given a work? Joseph was responsible to make sure everything that was going to be given to Egypt in those 7 years of plenty, it was Joseph's responsibility to make sure that it was distributed where it's supposed to be. and all the cities, overseer. He went out over all the land of Egypt to make sure that the work of Pharaoh was done. The Father has given the Lord Jesus Christ a work. It said in John 9:4, I must work the works of him that sent me while it's day, while the day of his life on earth was still shining. He said, for the night cometh, that night of his removal out of this world after he'd finished the messianic work of the Father, when no man can work. Let me ask you this, who's going to work save the Lord Jesus Christ? Not by works of righteousness that we've done. According to his mercy, he finished the work. I pray the Lord bless this to our hearts for Christ's sake.